Meanwhile, that wasn't quite the way things were actually happening. I found out later that my dad was getting horrible phone reports from my mom for an hour each night, long after Jeffy and I were both asleep. So, in a sense, my dad was shielding me by not talking. I could have used some companionship that week, but maybe I wouldn't have believed anything about Jeffy until I was ready, no matter what Dad said. The week went by in this half-awake sort of way, for me at least. While I was staring at Renee in fifth-period math and praying nobody would make her change her outfit, Jeffrey was getting strapped down to a gurney. While Annette was smacking my arm yet again, a doctor was shoving a huge needle through Jeffrey's back into his hip, all the way into the bone. While I was laughing at some joke the teacher hadn't heard, Jeffrey was screaming as the needle sucked the bone marrow out of him. But I was just thinking about me, and about how ridiculous it was that everybody except me was getting so freaked out over a stupid bloody nose. The only times all week when I truly felt all right were the times when I was playing the drums. I've always been pretty serious about hitting the old practice pad at home, but now that I was living in the conversation-free TV dinner zombie zone, I basically had nothing else to do. It was truly ridiculous. Within days after Jeffrey's fall, I got to the point where I was spending 25 minutes a night playing double-stroke rolls on the surface of a dime without missing or even moving the coin. I knew my drum teacher, Mr. Stoll, was going to be pretty impressed with my progress. Before this, he had assigned me maybe 2 pages in each of 3 different exercise books every week. But now I was doing 2 pages per night in each book. I was also practicing for my upcoming conga drum stardom. Mr. Watrous lent me a pair of really expensive bongos to use at home, along with a huge stack of ancient Latin jazz records. He had even called Mr. Stoll, they had played in bands together, isn't it weird when grown-ups have actual lives, to tell him what I should practice on them. Fortunately, my dad has a Stone Age stereo system in the basement with an actual turntable, so I was playing along with at least 1 whole Latin record each night. I know, you're probably thinking that my new superhuman drum schedule must have been cutting into my homework time. And in fact, you would be correct, except that I completely stopped doing homework the day Jeffrey got sick and didn't start again until I got busted by my teachers much, much later. I sometimes looked at my homework assignments, and occasionally even wrote a heading on a piece of paper as if I was about to attempt the work, but somehow I wound up going to school empty-handed day after day. In class, too, I just started basically blanking out every period, every day. You might also think that lots of my friends would notice it if their pal Steven stopped doing schoolwork, started staring off into space 85% of the time, and suddenly avoided any mention of his family. But you'd be wrong there. I think every group of friends has a guy for each different function, like the sympathetic guy, the funny guy, the jock, the guy who gets picked on. I had never really thought about it before, but apparently to my friends, I had 2 roles, funny guy and drum guy. So as long as I carried a pair of sticks and kept the humor coming, nobody was going to guess anything was up with me. Except Annette. Pretty much every morning in homeroom, she would ask me what was wrong. The first few days, I would make a joke or say nothing was the matter. After that, I got more and more impatient with her every time she asked. I kept hoping that if I was just snappish enough, she would leave me alone. Meanwhile, she stuck with me. She was my best friend, maybe my only true friend, but I wasn't seeing it. There was only one way I was communicating with the outside world at all, and that was my English journal. Miss Palma has this rule that if you fold down your page, it shows your journal is private. Well, my journal was starting to look like some kind of weird origami factory, with page after page folded on different angles and edges sticking out all over the place. Of course, Miss Palma had to know that I was doing something strange because again and again I'd be writing 3 and 4 pages, supposedly about these completely impersonal topics, and then folding down all the pages one by one. But either she really believed I was having deep emotional reactions to questions like, should our school have uniforms, or she was just giving me enough rope to hang myself. Here's the journal I wrote on the 6th day after my mom and Jeffrey went away, the day before they came back. If I could say anything I wanted to anyone in the world right now, I would be all over Annette. Who died and left you, Sherlock Holmes? Why is it your business if I don't do my math homework? And even if that somehow, in some way that only you can understand, is your business, how is it your business why I didn't do it? First of all, you're not my mother. And second, even if you were my mother, you wouldn't care. You'd be in Philadelphia buying soft pretzels and Italian ices for your baby son, not checking in with your microwave oven maintenance son. Second of all, this is a free country. I have a God-given American right to avoid homework if that helps me in the pursuit of happiness. Don't you pay any attention in social studies? I swear to God, Annette, I haven't even read the chapter for this week yet, but I know more than you do. You should move to Cuba immediately.